Living with a chronic respiratory condition doesn't mean giving up the things you love to do. At Blue Zone Health, we're here to help you breathe easier and rebuild your strength. Our online cardiopulmonary rehab program offers tailored exercises, self-management training, and expert support from certified respiratory therapists. Accessible anytime, it's designed to reduce breathlessness, improve lung function, and empower you, all while connecting you with a supportive community. Visit bluezone.health and take the first step towards stronger lungs and a healthier future. Blue Zone Health. Breathe better, live better.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Cozy Lung Lounge. I'm here with Kelly, and today we're going to be talking about anxiety, panic, and breathlessness.
Welcome, welcome everybody. Panic and anxiety and breathlessness are really common in people with not just COPD, but asthma, bronchitis, and interstitial lung disease as well. And there's a couple of things you can do to break that cycle, because that's really what it is. You feel your chest just start to tighten up, and then you get a little nervous. And then that nervousness sometimes can lead to, and your chest is tightening up a little bit more, and now you're getting a little bit more anxious, and then you're getting even more breathless. So how do we break that cycle? How do we stop that spiral from even starting? Just break it right in the beginning.
It doesn't just apply to that one episode of shortness of breath. I mean, anxiety when it comes to breathlessness can affect your whole lifestyle. A lot of times if you get really anxious when you feel a little bit of shortness of breath, it may stop you from exercising, and it may stop you from going out to do the things you like to do, like shopping, going to social events, spending time with friends and family if it's away from the home. So it can really be a really impactful thing on your whole life. So this is an important topic to see if we can try to break that cycle.
Most definitely. And I think that it's not just anxiety from feeling short of breath or feeling that your chest is tight. I think it's everyday anxiety about all kinds of things. People have anxiety about what's happening, what's not happening, what's happening in the world, what's happening in my family, what's this person doing, what's that person not doing. And just being able to say, you know, it's all okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to work out just fine. And not thinking about all those other people and other things. And my number one tip would be turn off the news. You don't need to add to what's going on in your life by worrying about something that's happening halfway across the globe. So just for general anxiety, but for anxiety and panic surrounding your shortness of breath, there's definitely some exercises and some tips that you can do.
This episode is coming out in November, so this is in the midst of the holiday season. And so you don't want to be missing out on family events or get really anxious and worried. So this is a great episode just to learn a little bit more about managing that anxiety to see if you guys can just have a better holiday season.
The holidays can be very, very stressful. And I think the tips and tools we're about to give you will be very, very helpful. So what actually happens when somebody starts to get a little bit worried or anxious about something? What happens in your body?
Well, a lot of times what happens is you enact your fight or flight. I'm sure everybody has heard about that. And anxiety can increase your heart rate. It can increase your breathing rate and your blood pressure. And that's something that happens with that fight or flight nervous system response. And sometimes that can also lead to hyperventilation. And all of those things may start to make you feel a little bit more short of breath or a little bit more chest tightness as your heart is beating really fast. Maybe you're feeling those palpitations a little bit. Anxiety can cause some real physiological responses that can be alarming and can honestly make that shortness of breath worse.
And I think just being aware of your breathing. Sometimes when we're doing something stressful or we're in a hurry or we're trying to get something done or we're late to be somewhere, we don't check in with our breathing and we realize all of a sudden, oh, when was the last time I took a nice, slow, deep breath? And we just have to pause and do it. So checking in and just being mindful, using a mindfulness technique. Maybe you set an alarm on your phone every hour on the hour. And when that alarm dings, you go, okay, three deep breaths. Nice and deep, nice and slow. Okay, there's my three deep breaths for the hour. And then go about your business calmly. That's one technique. Another mindfulness technique would be if you really find that, I'm a little further in my shortness of breath than I thought I would be, breathing retraining, some breathing techniques. One of those would be just to say to yourself, as you breathe in, I'm breathing in. And as you breathe out, I'm breathing out. And it becomes a very melodic, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. And using your pursed lip and diaphragmatic breathing, coupling with that, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. Maybe you need to do that 10 or 12 times, but that will usually help you break that circling the drain, if you will, or break that cycle of just getting more and more and more short of breath.
And I know sometimes, like when I get really anxious, I have those heart palpitations and I can feel them physically. I can feel my heart rate go up. And for me, you know, whether it's saying I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out, or kind of having like a mantra or a phrase can be really helpful. Like sometimes what I do is just say, you're okay. And then I take a big exhale, I'll breathe in and I'll say, you're okay. Deep breath out. And that just helps me kind of relax and come back to myself. And that's just a simple phrase. So something little, just saying you're okay, but breathe in, you're all right, and breathe out. And something like that can be really helpful just to help you slow down and prevent that cycle from going where you get more and more short of breath because you're getting anxious and it's just this spiral.
And I think just recognizing what are some early signs before it's too late, before you've really got yourself worked up in a little tizzy, what are some of the early signs? Is it for some people, they feel like their throat gets tight. For some people, they feel like their chest gets tight. For some people, they just feel like their neck and all their muscles are just really tight and they just kind of take a minute and do this. A really advanced technique I like is when you have one of those episodes, if you have a journal or a little notebook or something, try to go back when you've calmed down and taken your inhaler, whatever you need to do, sat down, done your breathing, is go back and go, okay, what was I doing when this happened? Or what was I thinking about? Who was I thinking about? What was I listening to? What was I watching? What was going on? What was triggering that? And a lot of times people say, you know, I didn't realize this, but I was thinking of my son-in-law. And, you know, he just upset me so much that, you know, 2 years ago or some long time, you know, and every time I think of him, that just sets them off. And so, okay, we have other techniques we can go into for dealing with that. But now you've made the connection. Every time I have to think about this person, it just makes me tighten up. Okay, so let's not think about that person, or let's change how we react to that person or the news or a situation, whatever it is, just making that connection between what started you, what set off your breathing that way.
Absolutely. And one thing I heard you say was tighten up. That's something that I feel like a lot of people do when they get stressed. It's something I do when I get stressed. Sometimes I'll hold my breath, clench my jaw. I can feel my muscles tighten up. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is if your chest muscles are tightened up, your shoulders are tightened up, you can't relax to take those big, deep breaths. So you may not even notice, but you're taking these shorter, more rapid breaths, and you're almost getting yourself into a state of hyperventilation because you're not able to relax your muscles enough to take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. And that can add just to that cycle.
Even just stretching, even if you just feel things tighten up, even just taking a minute and doing the old, you know, big yawn, one of these kind of stretches, and just opening up your chest and loosening up all the tense muscles that get so tight, will help you just relax and take a couple of deep breaths.
I like the idea of finding those calming techniques, like practicing breathing techniques. You know, you can go through pursed lip breathing, box breathing, diaphragmatic breathing. And then there's also some just different grounding exercises. So like doing some stretching, if you feel yourself getting tense, doing a body scan, which is just going through your body and finding that place of tension and helping yourself relieve it. There's lots of really great techniques, and it's pretty much just whatever works best for you. I think everybody's different and everybody likes their techniques in different ways. So just finding that calming technique or that one thing that really just helps you relax in that moment is good.
Hi, I'm Kelly, a registered respiratory therapist with Blue Zone Health. Do you feel breathless much of the time? Are you unsure of how to manage your breathlessness? Is it keeping you from doing all the things that you would like to do? I'm here to help you learn to work with your healthcare team to come up with a plan that will work for you. There are lots of tools, tips, and tricks and breathing exercises that you can do now that will help you breathe easier and more effectively. I look forward to joining you on this journey and empowering you to breathe better.
Some other strategies that I like, visualization. I really like this, not when you're in trouble and when you're feeling short of breath, but when you wake up in the morning, just visualizing yourself having an easy breezy breathing day. Nothing's going to get to you. Nothing's going to bother you. Life is good. Your breathing is A1, just fine. And just telling yourself, I'm going to get this done today, or today I plan to do this and I am going to get that done today. I'm going to go have fun today. I'm going to go to the movies with my friends today. Just seeing yourself completing all the things that you want to do.
And I think the other thing, you know, to help you go out and do all the things you want to do and stay active and social is to put a plan in place. Because you don't want to have anxiety about not having a plan for what to do when you have anxiety or breathlessness, because that just kind of all builds on itself. So what would you recommend is kind of, you know, do you write this plan down? Do you tell other people about it? What do you think?
I think always having a plan is good. We talked in another episode about action plan, which is good, but maybe we also need to do kind of a mini action plan. What happens when we first feel that tightening up? And I'll tell you a story. What happens a lot is not knowing where your rescue inhaler is. If you have a rescue inhaler, always know where it is, because sometimes what will happen is someone will get very short of breath and they'll start to panic a little bit, and then they're going to go find their rescue inhaler, but it's not where they thought it was. That adds to the panic factor a little more. Okay, where is it? Where did I leave it? Is it in my purse? Is it in the car? Did I leave it on the entryway? Did I leave it in the kitchen counter? Is it in the bathroom? Where is it? What did I do with it? So always knowing where your rescue inhaler is, or maybe you have a couple in different places. And then if you don't, I've had some really bad cases where the more short of breath that you get and the more panicky you get, the more your oxygen level goes down. And the more your oxygen level goes down, you can't think straight. And now you have no idea where your inhaler is. And now you forgot what you're looking for because all you can think about is your breathing. And so that's just one thing, having that plan in place. And besides your inhaler, then what exercise will you do to relax? What is your go-to? And I think it's important to have a go-to. So there's apps out there. I like the app Calm. It's C-A-L-M. It's free. It kind of promotes itself as a sleep app, but actually there's a lot of just soothing, calming, breathing exercises on there that you can do. Maybe you have YouTube on your phone. Keep your earbuds with you at all times so people aren't having to figure out what you're doing, but keep your earbuds in. Maybe you have some calming music on YouTube, classical music, you know, some just have some Vivaldi or some Bach or something saved in your favorites. So you can just boom, 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 go to it. You've got your earbuds in and listening to your favorite music or whatever it is that calms you down. Just some nature videos. There's a lot of YouTube videos on Zen monks that they have the I forget what you call them now, the water drums. I can't remember what they're called, but anyway, just some calming, soothing chimes, just Tibetan chimes, if you will, that and crystal bowls playing and things like that. Those are just calming. And do we have a mindfulness video on Blue Zone?
There are lots of mindfulness videos on Blue Zone. I think they're pretty much on every week of the program. So, you know, if that's something that you want to do is join Blue Zone Health, there's lots of mindfulness videos. And I think it pretty much has just beautiful scenes playing in the background with just a really soothing voice talking you through some mindfulness practices. So that would be another really great one. You know, I think it just depends on the person as to what they enjoy. You know, if you have the luxury of having an outdoor space near you, even if it's just going outside on the porch, if it's good weather, and just taking that deep breath, you've got those nature sounds naturally, you've got a beautiful view, and that may really help you relax and just kind of take the breath that you need.
I think my breathlessness video or audio podcast is also on the Blue Zone website. And I made that one specifically for somebody who was starting to feel short of breath and starting to enter that spiral. And just press play, close your eyes, put your buds in, and follow along with my breathing. That's available on Blue Zone website as well.
You know, it's really interesting because the whole point of the fight or flight mechanism in the body was created way back when there were cavemen, and they had to use fight or flight when they were running for things like, you know, tigers and lions and bears. And that's what it's meant for. And now our fight or flight is still around, but it's triggered a lot of times by anxiety from things that have happened in the past, things that might be happening in the future. It gets enacted by so many things around us that are honestly out of our control. And so we have to realize that in those moments where we get really anxious, our fight or flight is kicking in. You know, we're not being chased by anything. We, a lot of times, are not in a life or death, you know, bodily harm experience where you may be hurt. And so it's that time and that, you know, realization and going through some of these practices to realize it's okay. You know, this panic is just here. It's just a physiological response to something that's going on in my brain. It's not actually going to hurt me right now. So let me take some time to calm down before I get myself into a spiral and cause a shortness of breath and then end up in a whole other world of concern.
Exactly. And again, stop scrolling, stop reading other people's drama. Be careful what TV shows you watch, Netflix, just being mindful of what you're taking in. And not worrying about other people's drama. If other people choose to live their lives that way, let them. That's okay. Nothing you can do about it. You can't change anybody else, only yourself and how you react to things. And I think for someone with COPD and asthma, that's a very important thing to recognize, is how much other events and other things can trigger you. And it could be very subtle, and it doesn't come out until later when you're thinking about it again. So
if breathlessness is your main anxiety piece, you know, if you get really anxious with any amount of shortness of breath, that's something where that plan is really going to come into place. Having a plan where your inhaler is, what techniques help calm you down, you know, talking to your doctor and making sure you have a plan with them. And then also continuing to be physically active. There is definitely a difference between being out of breath from physical activity and being short of breath. And I know a lot of times when people start to, you know, maybe they've been diagnosed with a condition, maybe you've got COPD, asthma, whatever it may be, and you start exercising and you feel some of that out of breath from your physical activity, it can get mistaken for shortness of breath and that tightening. And you can think it's a little bit more of a concern than it actually is. So I just want to continue to remind you guys to exercise, because exercise is going to really help you. And the less you exercise, and especially if you stop exercising because you're fearful of shortness of breath, the more it's going to happen. So making sure that you're doing exercises, even if it's just a light, relaxed walk, that kind of stuff is so important to help prevent shortness of breath long term. And it may come with a little bit of that out of breath feeling, but it shouldn't be that shortness of breath feeling.
That's a great point. You've got to move, your body every day. And I've had patients tell me, you know, so how, I can't even walk 10 feet like without being out of breath. But the in one of my classes that I teach, I say, okay, visualize a marathon runner, somebody who just ran a marathon and he's at the finish line and he's all doubled over and he's panting and he, you know, is that person short of breath or are they out of breath? And that distinction between that person is out of breath, short of breath, is when you cannot catch your breath. And you're so right, Amy, because people come into class and they start to feel that little extra breathing effort, and it gets translated as, I can't breathe. And yes, you can, just go slow. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I also happen to be walking. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out as I walk, and you will get through it.
And it will help you more than I think you realize, continuing to do that exercise and continuing to be social and to go out and do social events as best you can and as comfortably as you can, because that will also help with anxiety, is finding those good times to be around friends and family and do the things you love to do, whether that's shopping or going to the movies. So don't let breathlessness and shortness of breath be a reason to prevent you from doing the things that you want to do and prevent you from exercising.
Absolutely. Please at least exercise and walk. If you're really having a tough time doing that, make an appointment with your doctor, have a 6-minute walk test done so we can properly assess you for oxygen need. But more often than not, just because you're short of breath doesn't mean you need oxygen. It means you just need to be reconditioned a little bit. But just to make sure, go see your doctor, have the 6-minute walk test done, and take it from there.
Awesome. Well, I hope this was a great episode for everybody, just to learn a little bit more about the breathlessness cycle and how to stop it, some different calming techniques to really help you get out and do the things that you want to do with a little bit less anxiety, hopefully. So just let us know what you think and let us know what techniques work best for you to help you calm down and relax in those moments of anxiety.
Amy, where can they let us know? Is it on the Blue Zone website? Are they better off on the Facebook page? Where can they chat with us?
Absolutely. They can chat with us on Facebook. You know, we normally post when these episodes come out. You can comment on our YouTube page if you are watching the video version of our podcast on YouTube. And you can also reach out and contact us on the Blue Zone Health page. So we are available in lots of different aspects. So please reach out with anything that you need. And we're always here to help.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you on the next episode.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, friends. This episode of the Cozy Lung Lounge is brought to you by Hootenanny Joy, where your health and wellness take center stage. At Hootenanny Joy, we know how overwhelming it can be to stay on top of your health, especially when life gets busy or chronic illness adds challenges. That's why we've created self-study programs designed to meet you right where you are. These programs are simple, flexible, and packed with tools to help you thrive. And they come with something extra, access to a live health coach, that's me, to guide you every step of the way. Whether it's improving your sleep, learning to nourish your body, or managing stress, our programs combine proven science with practical real-life strategies. You can work at your own pace, get the answers you need during coaching sessions, and feel confident you're making progress. Ready to take that first step? Visit HootenannyJoy.com to explore the programs and choose the one that fits your journey best. Hootenanny Joy, because your health deserves a little joy.